This is the Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Brian Mitchell Show. Yes, he said, the Radio.com app, Team980.com, and just the Team 980. You can tune in to us every day from 12 to 3. And actually, start up in the morning. Start around 6 o'clock in the morning. And follow us all the way to 7 o'clock. We have a bunch of good guys on here talking some good sports. And sometimes we go outside of sports and bring you stuff in a different manner because we believe entertainment is about entertainment. And we are here to be able to give you information on a variety of things. And we try our best to do that. And today I hope I can take you on this sports journey. And we're going to touch on three different levels of sports. We're going to have Joe Beninati, play-by-play analyst and announcer for the Washington Capitals. Joe is, like I told you all yesterday, he's the smoothest-dressed man in all of sports, okay? Him, Craig Laughlin, and also Alan May will bring us a broadcast on NBC Sports Washington. We get Joe at 12:15. Then at 2:15, and I'm doing this thing in a backwards order because I have a reason for that. 2:15, Brian Gelsiler will be joining us. He's a founder of HoopsCritic.com, also a host of SiriusXM NBA Radio. We got to break down this whole deal with James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets. I saw one little thing in there that say, and the Bucks get this. I'm like, well, why are the Bucks involved with this when they really didn't get a damn thing out the deal? But you get four first-round picks, the Brooklyn Nets did. Three from Houston, one from the Bucks. They got one from the Bucks, and then four switches. So from 2021 to about 2027, 28, you're going to see the Brooklyn Nets having first-round picks. They're going to be getting some good things going. But I would say if the Brooklyn Nets play according to the talent that they have, some of those first-round picks won't be very high. And then at 1:30, we have a young man joining us, Mark Herzlich, who played at Boston College, has an unbelievable story, and he's going to be a part of my opening kickoff today. He's a Radio.com insider, played for the Giants from 2011 to 2017, Super Bowl champion. He won the best comeback athlete. He got an ESPY for that, okay? He was on the ESPYs and all in 2011. He was diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma, okay, a rare form of cancer, bone cancer, and he had to fight that. And, you know, I was sitting up here thinking about things that I can talk about. And I try to do things that are kind of impactful and talk about how people deal with certain things. And at this point, I'm ready to kick it off.
Mitchell's going to return it. To the 30, 35, breaks the tackle, the 40. He may go. It's over. It's a touchdown for Mitchell.
Mitchell from the 10. Mitchell! Can he go 90? He can't.
It's time for B-Mitch to take the opening kickoff.
All right, and as I was sitting here thinking about the Caps kicking off their season tonight, and, you know, Vic and I were sitting talking, we started wondering, you know, expectations for them. You know, how does a player think going into a season? How does a coach think going into a season? Even how do the fans think? And then a combination of things that began to pop into my mind, and as I was reading some stuff on Mark Herzlich, I ran into this thing because I remember Mark and I was at an event together back in the early 2000, well, around 2010-ish or 11, and I had this conversation with him. And once he, in May 14, 2019, when he found out he was diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma, a rare form of bone cancer, this is what he stated in a press release. He said, obviously, I was shocked. I had been extremely focused on preparing for my senior season at Boston College and for life beyond that. Let's think about this. This happened while he was going into his senior year in college. Now I must channel all that energy into facing my toughest opponent yet, and that is exactly what I will do. At this point, I do not know what this means for my football future, but I'm determined to rid my body of this disease so that I can put that uniform back on. Thank you in advance for your prayers and concern. Together, we will fight this and win. And as I began to read that, I thought about what the Washington football team dealt with this year, with Ron Rivera, with Alex Smith, you know? And I think sometimes until things get that serious, you know, where you have Ron dealing with cancer, Alex having to battle back from the injury he had, or, you know, this young man, Mark Herzlich, who has to deal with cancer as well as a guy in college going who wants to go to the NFL. And I would just say this up front. He ended up making it to the NFL, playing 7 years with the Giants, and he was a Super Bowl champion. So, and when we begin to think about athletes, and I a lot of times I tell people, I remember my buddy James used to be a personal trainer, and James made the comment to one of my friends that athletes are different. They think different. They're not normal, okay? And I didn't know if to take that as a compliment or a knock. But when you start thinking about professional athletes and what they deal with, and I know we as fans, we think we're the only people in the world that truly care. We want to make sure Ovi can go out there and score as many goals as he can. We want Sam Sonoff to come in here and play like he's a damn all-NHL goalie off the bat. Peter Laviolette, he comes in as a new coach, and he's won a Stanley Cup with somebody else. You're supposed to win it this year. But I ask you all this question. These guys are wired differently. Do you not think that they think the same things that we think and probably at a higher level? Nicholas Backstrom, okay? Those type of guys where, you know, come in here, he wants to get back and win another championship. You know, Evgeny Kuznetsov, he's heard the people question what he's done. I think he wants to get out there, yes. We expect it. I think they expect more. Right now, John Carlson, he had an unbelievable year last year. We thought he should have won the best defenseman in the NHL. He didn't get it. Why? Because a lot of people ignore what you do as an offensive player. But that doesn't mean that he should stop. I think he should come back with the mindset that I'm going to score more goals and still be a damn good defensive player. And guess what? If he don't get some astronomical goal number, he probably won't win it again. That's how people vote for it. But I know one thing, he's not going to stop. And as I've been around athletes all my life, I know athletes, sometimes they laugh when fans say, well, we care about this more than you. I don't think you do. I think we are fanatical as fans. But we don't understand what these guys do. These guys have a talent. And I would say when you go through all professional sports, and we may every once in a while find somebody who don't give a damn. They're just happy about the money. They don't truly love the sport. But I promise you that's less than 1% of all the rest of them. Because the ones that make it and make it for a long time, they don't love the money. They damn sure enjoy getting paid, but I think they love the actual sport and the competition. So when they get out there, not only are they battling with, let's say, human nature. You know, they have to fight through all levels of extreme pains and this, that, and the other to get out there to entertain. They also have to fight through all of the nonsense that's said to go out and entertain a person who's knocking them all the time. But I think that, you know, we're looking forward to the captain. I think they're going to do a great job of it. Last year, penalty kill wasn't spectacular. The power play wasn't. We'll talk to Joe Benny Knight a little bit later and find out how are they going to change that up. When you're looking at James Harden, James Harden is known as a guy who can score in droves in the regular season, but he just can't do enough in the postseason to get him where they need to go. You think James Harden is not doing the things he needs to do? And I think part of the move of forcing himself to Brooklyn is so I can win something, because he doesn't want to hear the negativity. He knows if he finishes his career as he is, he could be a Hall of Famer or whatever. People are still going to tell him, well, you didn't win a championship. Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley are buddies. And Mike tells Charles this all the time. And Charles goes, it doesn't bother me. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'd be damned if it doesn't. It bothers a person, because if you were that good, you just feel like, damn, I should have been able to get that one. And that's why a lot of people always say that a team championship says a lot more. Because it's like you being the best, you took somebody there. So as these guys get ready to kick off their season tonight, I'm just going to tell them, I know what's inside you. I know what you want to do. I've been there. I've done that. Okay? And it's not that I played your sport, but the psyche of an athlete doesn't go far off the rails when you start going to opposite sports. Everybody puts in extra efforts. Everybody puts in extra work. Everybody wants to be the damn best. But some people, they give more. They push themselves more. They fight through that common human nature core that we all have that said, man, nobody else doing this right now. And that's when we have to fight through it and keep going. So I'm going to be looking forward to it. I'm expecting big things. I know they're expecting big things. Make sure you tune in tonight, 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington, as you watch the Capitals take on the Bruins, and any other sports that you see, just remember those, the Sabres, anybody else, I'm thinking about Boston, that's Buffalo, anybody that you see out there playing this sport, they want to do it probably more than you think they want to do it, and they think a lot different than you. That's my opening kickoff, and let's take a quick break here. Joe Beninati will join us when we get back. Play-by-play guy for the Washington Capitals. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And joining me now, as I told you all, for the last 2 days, the best-dressed man in the broadcast industry, Mr. Joe Edward Beninati, play-by-play guy for the and analyst for the Washington Capitals. He, Craig Laughlin, and Alan May brings it to you at a high level every time the Caps get out there on the ice. What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
B. Mitch, I had no idea you knew my middle name.
Hey, Joe, I got to research stuff, man. I got to go and check it out. How you been,
Things
man?
Are well, my friend. Things are well, and looking forward to jumping in with both feet tonight.
Well, you're jumping in there, and they got a doubleheader. They played tonight and tomorrow night, and we have a new coach on deck, Peter Laviolette. What are you expecting from him?
You know, Brian, I've known him for, gosh, 30 years. We go back to the American Hockey League together just when Peter was ending his playing career and starting his coaching career. And the one thing that I always remember, and regardless of however many stops he's made along this NHL path, incredibly intense. And when he comes to a new city, he gets results. Uh-huh. The team wants to run through a wall for him, play hard for him. And that's something that they're going to be looking for in this first month. Peter wants them to find a certain identity. That's always the buzzword. But Peter knows what this team can do. And with a few reinforcements that have been added by Brian McClellan, he really loves the makeup of this team. Now it's just a matter of getting them used to a little bit of a new system. Not tremendous differences, but some subtle ones. And then hopefully this team will take flight the way we know they can.
He won the Stanley Cup in Carolina, took two other teams to the Stanley Cup, to the finals and thing as well. You know, do you think that's part of the reason? Because of we had Ty Ritterman, he was loved. Many people respected him. But he didn't have the experience of leading it. Is that part of the reason why Peter is here now?
Well, I think 100%. And this is someone who will instantly command respect. Not that Todd didn't have it following Barry, but Peter comes in with that track record that you mentioned, and he was great. And this is a conversation that Locker and I will share with the viewers tonight, but I'll break it with you first. You know, Peter's there like, well, it's an itch. We said, Coach, what's the itch? Well, it's a 15-year itch for me since I've won the Stanley Cup with Carolina. And the itch is there for the Caps since 2018. And it was legitimate. It was genuine the way he said it. And he was burning to get back there and try and win it again. And you would have to think with the way that this Capitals lineup is constructed, they're good enough. They are still good enough to do it. And I don't want to hear necessarily that the window is closing, but the guys realize that time is ticking, absolutely. But there's an itch to scratch, and it starts with the guy behind the bench.
You know, I just talked about that in a sense. I do this thing called opening kickoff where it's something may be itching, and I have to scratch it, so I talk about it. And I'm talking about how athletes think. The Stanley Cup, a few years ago, they tasted that. They are chasing that taste once again. And I think many people don't understand it. They like sometimes a guy come out and things don't work out and they think, well, the players don't care. Hell, they're fighting for it. They're trying to get there. They put in the work. And sometimes it's elusive. You can't get to it as quick as you want to.
No, Brian, I think it wasn't in football, Coach. It was Bill Parcells who made the analogy. He said, once you win it, it's like a blood transfusion. You're brothers.
Yeah.
That, you know, you win that, there you're brothers go. Together. And that's what you're trying ultimately to win each and every year. And once you do get that opportunity to hoist that trophy, all you want to do is do it again.
There you go.
And for Laviolette, it's been 15 years. For the Capitals, it's been since 2018. And there are a lot of people around here who will say it's been too long because there's so much talent there, Brian. I could make the case with you that the Caps have been legitimate. I mean, frontline Stanley Cup contenders since 2015. 15, 16, 17, 18, they win it. 19, 20, they could have, would have, should have in all of those years. And that's what you want and aspire to, and that's what happens when you have a generational talent like Alex Ovechkin. You have that one, and you're going to forever be grateful for that one, but now you want to be greedy. You want more. You want multiple.
Of course. And I think when you look at it, Joe, and look at the characteristic of Peter's teams, what is that one thing you may say that carries on no matter what city he's in?
Heavy, hardworking. And I think it plays perfectly into the makeup for the Washington roster to begin with. You're going to see some differences. I would imagine fans will notice immediately some changes in the neutral zone, the way the team plays in between the two blue lines. But you're going to see a more aggressive forechecking. That is something that Todd Reirden wanted and demanded last year. I think Peter will do the same and push the buttons to get it the way he wants it, to create some scoring chances off of a ferocious forecheck. And Laviolette teams work their tails off. They're incredibly mindful in their own end. And that's one area where let's see how Washington has revamped its defense. And we've seen them. I want to say Brian McClellan brought in four different free agents on that back end. The Caps are as deep as they come with respect to having, I think it's as many as 10 guys who've played NHL games that they can pull from. Kevin McCarthy, who has been tied at the hip with Laviolette for the last 15, 16 years, very well-respected defensive coach. There'll be some subtle tweaks in the D-zone coverage, but I have a feeling that Ilya Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek, the two goalies, they won't be seeing as many high danger chances as Braden Holtby was seeing last year. At least that's their wish. That's on their wish list.
We're talking to Joe Beninati, play-by-play analyst and announcer for the Washington Capitals. And Joe, speaking of the goalies, you know, Henry Lundqvist was expected to be around. He has the heart issue and had to have surgery. How big of a hit or loss is that?
Well, I think it's significant, even without even playing a second for the Caps, right? And I'm thrilled that Henrik has let people know that his open-heart surgery went well, and knock on wood, fingers crossed, all the best for him and his family moving forward. He wanted to come in and take the job away from Samsonov. And Ilya is the crown jewel of their prospect pool, and I think he's a tremendous talent. And I think moving forward, the Caps are going to be in very good shape with Samsonov in the net. But Lundqvist, as a competitor, for those who didn't know him, I mean, this is a guy who burns to win and is a future Hall of Famer and wanted his crack at a Stanley Cup and came to Washington with that desire. And I don't think he came here just to be Samsonov's tutor or mentor or caddy. I think he would have battled, and especially in this shortened season when you're going to need two and three goalies, with the schedule as compacted as it is, B-Mitch, you know, Henrik was going to get his chance to play, and he wanted to prove to Laviolette and everybody else in the Caps organization that he still has it, capital I-T. It didn't turn out that way, and now the Caps are going to rely on a couple of youngsters, very inexperienced, and with regard to Vitek Vanacek, who we may see as early as tomorrow night, mm-hmm. You know, there's an American Hockey League All-Star who's never played a game in the NHL. They're high on him. I don't think he doesn't nearly have the ceiling that Samsonov has. Samsonov is legitimately the number one guy, but we're going to see the Caps rotate through, and you're going to need to have a bunch of guys at the ready just in case from an injury and illness standpoint.
The power play, penalty kill, things that we always want to have at a top level, in some instances wasn't there last year. How do they get it back to where we would say it's respectable and we have a great chance when we have those guys on the ice?
Yeah, let's start with the PK. I thought the PK was pretty good, and in fact, on home ice games, I think the Caps led the league in penalty kill, and Scott Arneil did a nice job with that, and Scott's still in that position with the coaching change. Peter Laviolette enjoyed the way Arneil approached the PK assignments. I think from a penalty kill standpoint, they're going to be good. They'll be even better, I think, with Zdeno Chara involved, even at age 43, and I hope that the minutes will be limited for Big Z. He doesn't have to play 25, 26 minutes with this Washington D, but he can penalty kill, and he can still be an intimidator in front of the goal. I think the PK is going to be just fine. Power play wrinkles are there for Blaine Forsythe to make, and from what I gather, there have been the guys are asking a lot of questions about power play setup. there's so much talent there, Brian. I mean, they're going to click. And when Laviolette looks, he doesn't look necessarily just at last year's sort of middle of the road rankings. He looks at a cumulative 7 and 8 year rankings, and the Caps are number one in that regard. So you could see them bounce back from, you know, middle of the pack, you know, 17% to boom, 23%, 24%. I think they're more inclined to be in the 20s than in the teens.
All right, $124 million. I think Alex Ovechkin has outplayed that contract. He's in the final year of that $124 million deal, 13-year deal that he signed a long time ago. He's sitting at 35 years old, still is the best goal scorer in the league. What are you expecting from him this year? Being 25 goals shy of moving into the top five, you know, do you expect him to get there? And what do you want to see from Alex?
He's hungry, B. Mitch. He really is. He's hungry, and that means he's going to score for you, and that means he's going to lead and hit and listen to the head coach and lead by example. He's been, from what I gather, from listening and talking with Peter Laviolette and assistant coach Kevin McCarthy, their first impressions of Alex are what a wonderful person he is, how good of a teammate he's been, how inquisitive he's been in the meetings. He's been asking questions about the scheme changes and where he needs to be. So he's not all willy-nilly doing this like a diva, just wind me up and let me score. No, that's not Alex's game. Mm-hmm. And I've said this time after time. Yeah, he's in pursuit of Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. That would be incredibly nice.
Yeah.
He's more interested in winning that second and third championship. I think those are the numbers that matter more than 894. I've said that time after time. I'll continue to say it. But all the while I watch him, he looks fit as a fiddle. I think he's motivated. He's hungry. I think there's the disappointment from 2019 and from what happened in 2020 inside the bubble. There's a motivating factor there. He has seen what the team has done to bring in reinforcements, and I think that's revitalized him and a lot of people. Tom Wilson said it's like we hit the refresh button. Okay, fellas, go out and show us.
Tonight, Washington Capitals take on the Sabres at 7 o'clock. You can see it on NBC Sports Washington. Joe Beninati, also Alan May, and Craig Laughlin will be bringing the broadcast to you. But I ask you this question, Joe. We look at the players on the team, and what player you feel this year has to come out and just hands down have a great year?
Evgeny Kuznetsov. That's the fallback answer to that question all the time, B. Mitch. And the reason I say it is, he's the most talented player on your roster. For pure skill, he's the most talented guy on the team. And that's no disrespect to Nicklas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson, who are all stars and major prime star players in the NHL. When Kuznetsov is involved at his highest level, the Caps can go anywhere. He's just that good. And when he's on, he makes other teams' defenses grab onto him. That lets Backstrom and Eller do more work, and the Caps become all the more dangerous. If Kuznetsov is just ho-hum, then Washington becomes that less effective. I just think he's a lightning rod for success. I just do. And I guess all of that stems back to 2018. That playoff spring in 2018, Kuznetsov led the entire playoff tournament in points. He was dazzling. He was brilliant. You couldn't take your eyes off of him. If he's that type of player for the majority of the games in 56 games, I'm not saying he's got to be over the stratosphere every single night, but if he is, you can do real damage.
Well, we've seen a lot of leagues having issues right now with COVID. I think the NHL did a great job with it last year. And you see how things are starting to affect the different leagues. Now, how do you feel that they're going to be able to handle this thing moving forward?
Well, I know the protocols are in place, B. Mitch, and I just pray that we can do all this smoothly and safely, because that's what should be first and foremost in our minds. I know from a business standpoint, this is going to be a huge financial loss overall for the NHL, with the majority of the cities not allowing fans into the building. We wish the fans could be there. Mm-hmm. Capital One is not going to be the same when we go and do a home game there against Buffalo next week. It's just going to be odd. It's going to be strange. The protocols are in place. They've added an additional 6 taxi squad spot just in case you've got to filter guys in and out of the lineup. I know things look bad in Dallas right off the jump with so many people testing positive for COVID and with their first couple of games postponed. The league has plans in place if things should get sideways, and I wouldn't be surprised if the league also had plans in place, if necessary, to go back into mini bubbles. Mm-hmm. You referenced the summertime bubble experience, and it worked out very well for the league in Edmonton and in Toronto. I know the league does not want to do that. I know the Players Association does not want to necessarily go back into the bubble. That's why we're starting the way we are starting with the teams playing in their own rinks. But if things go bad from a health perspective, and I hope they don't, I pray they don't, but if they do, you may have to go back into the mini bubbles and break the divisions into four, whatever you want to call them, hub cities, just to quiet things down. That may happen. I'm sure the Players Association is aware of it. They don't want it to happen, and if that's the case, everybody needs to be responsible with regard to the protocols and stay as healthy as they can.
Well, Joe, this is a question. I'm going to see if you get it. Did you enjoy watching the Vancouver Capitals play last night? We had some fan favorites up there playing last night, man.
B. Mitch, it was a shock when I saw Jay Beagle go there a couple seasons back. But to see Braden Holtby in blue and green, that doesn't make sense yet. And I'm not sure that it will for a while. Schmitty's there, too.
Yeah, old Smiley.
Yeah, that team's going to have a lot of fun. They're good, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're pretty darn good, and I wouldn't be surprised if they place top three in that North Division. Montreal, Toronto to be reckoned with. Vancouver is fun. Their top six and their top defenders are electric. They're fun to watch.
All right, man. Well, Joe, I appreciate you giving me some time, man. And what's the colors tonight? To make sure people can look for the you're always snazzy, man.
B. Mitch, we got to start with the red and the blue tonight. So we start red and blue, and then we can branch out after that. But definitely power red tie tonight.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you. Thanks, man.
My pleasure, B. Mitch. Talk to you soon.
All right. Joe Beninati, play-by-play analyst and announcer for the Washington Capitals, joining us here on the Brian Mitchell Show. And let's let you know what's trending around the sports world.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
What's trending is a big story in the NBA from yesterday. James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets from the Houston Rockets. Does this mean the Nets are the favorites now to win it all? Or will Harden be the wrong fit? We will talk to Brian Getzler, founder of HoopsCritic.com at 2:15 to talk about that along with the bad luck that has surrounded the Washington Wizards. They postponed yesterday's game against the Jazz and tomorrow against the Pistons due to COVID. Add on top of that Russell Westbrook might miss 3 to 4 weeks now because of that quad injury. Is this season over already for the Wiz? We're also prepping for the Washington Capitals opening tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. If you missed my interview with Joe Beninati, use the radio.com app, favorite the Team 980, and you can rewind to 12:20 as we preview the season. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are finalizing a deal for head coach Urban Meyer. Will it work? I mean, he wants about $15 million. We'll ask Radio.com NFL insider Mark Herzog at 1:30. His thoughts on that along with the NFL divisional rounds this weekend. And that's what's trending on the Team 980.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
All right, we have Mark Herzog coming on at 1:30. And insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbook don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. All right, you heard us talking to Joe Beninati. The Washington Capitals are taking on the Buffalo Sabres tonight at 7 o'clock with another game tomorrow night at 7 again in Buffalo. And we want to just find out from you all, what are your thoughts on this season coming up? Every year they kick off. We got Alex for 13 straight. How many people ever play 13 straight years of a contract? I think this young man has given us everything that we can expect and more. He's been outstanding. He's been entertaining. And I just want to know from you all, what is your excitement level? I'm excited. I want to see him get back to it. I tell people, and I don't think they understand what I'm saying, I've been around football all my life. I still love the hell out the game. But I'd much rather sit and watch a hockey game because I'm learning stuff. It's still physical as hell. I love the contact. Okay, football I still love, but I know every aspect of every in and out of it. I don't know every in and out of hockey. Hell, I'm finding out that most people that watch hockey every day don't know the ins and out of hockey. So I want to take your phone calls, 301-230-0980, and find out what are you expecting from the Caps this year. I know we've had these two early exits after winning a Stanley Cup. Can they get into the playoffs and make some noise. You understand the divisions now are a little different. You know, they always had to worry about the Penguins. I was reading something today where people thinking that Pittsburgh may not be what they've always been and want to get your take on it. Again, 301-230-0980. Let's start off immediately. Lou, what's up, Lou? How you doing, man?
What's up, B-Mets? How you doing, boss?
I'm chilling. I know. See, I could have said that you were going to call because Lou always calls about the Caps.
All the time, you already know that, man. I think, you know, I'm pumped up, man. I felt like, you know, we left a lot on the table in the last season. We didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. So I'm hoping they energize, like Joe said. You know, they got some defense. Zdeno Chara and, you know, the rest of the crew, they still intact. So I feel like, you know, they could, you know, if everything goes well, I mean, we could, you know, make some noise in the East and we'll see what happens. That's my take on it, B. Mitch, man. I'm hoping we can make a run at it. So it's a short season too, so 56 games. So you gotta start from the get go. So hopefully they could do that and go from there, man. Thanks for taking my call, B. Mitch.
All right, man. I look at it like this. It's not a sprint, okay? And it's not a marathon. So it's more like that 800 meters, that intermediate thing. You know, they could get to go out there and they could hit the ground running. They don't have to worry about much. Let's go to Connecticut. Check out Tim. What's up, Tim? How you doing, man?
Hi, B. Mitch. Thank you for taking my call. Again, super stoked for a Caps start to the season. We've been so blessed to have Alex Ovechkin here. He's once in a generational talent, and he's been here all these years, and he plays with his heart. Every single match, and they've got the talent to do it. Hockey's really a sport of multiple seasons, and the most important one is the playoffs. You have to be hot and disciplined during that stretch, but hopefully they'll bring home another Stanley Cup.
All right, man, appreciate your call, and I think that's what we're all looking for. I'll be honest, I had one of the best times of my life being down there after they had won it. It was super exciting. I think I got to D.C. that morning around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And when I left, it was dark. And it was a good feeling. And I saw all types of people out there. It didn't make a difference what you looked like, what neighborhood you was from. People were out there celebrating the Washington Capitals. And I think we want to see that again. We want to feel it. I'm sure these players are working for it. And now you have a coach in place who has that experience, may know how to get there. And ultimately for me, you know, sometimes you get to a point where things get stale. And you need somebody to come in and shake it up just a little bit. And those coaches that seem to have that experience and has taken a team there, hell, he went to three. He won one. So automatically he gets that respect level from the players that he needs. If he raises his voice, they don't care because coach has won this thing before. Maybe he's getting us something we didn't have before. I think Reardon's deal, we heard so much about, oh, he knows all the players and this, that. I think he knew all the players. Remember, the head coach is normally the guy who's the bad cop. The other coaches normally play good cop. So maybe, and Reardon was respected. I liked him too. But I think he was such a good cop when Barry was running things, that they couldn't see him any other way once he got in charge. Because we heard him talking about how this needs to change and that needs to change, but things never seemed to change. But we kept hearing how this is and how that is. And even when he got upset, things didn't change. And normally when you see a coach get to that level where you can visibly see that he's upset, he's pissed off, players normally respond to it. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. So now you got Ovi coming back, 35 years old, 25 goals away from moving into the top five. You watch how this guy approaches the game. I think he's going to try and lead the way, you know? And I think it's very hard for players that are less skilled than he is to come out there and just loaf around and not do what they're supposed to do. Still taking your calls, 301-230-0980. Try to find your excitement level for the Washington Capitals as they kick off their season tonight in Buffalo against the Sabres at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Washington. You can get that call from Joe Beninati, also Craig Laughlin, and Inside the Ropes reporter, Alan May, the crazy one. We had Alan on a few weeks ago when we found out the story about Henry Lundqvist, and I think a lot of people were expecting Lundqvist to be on this roster, you know, but he is dealing with some things now that he has to take care of, and we all wish him prayers and a speedy recovery, because I think that was something where you felt like we have Samsonov, he's the guy we're looking forward to, an exceptional talent, but this guy here comes in with a hell of a lot of experience. Now is Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek, two young guys, and you're hoping that you can get the same level of play, because I think it's even better for them this year being only 56 games. You know, that whole 80-plus, that could be a problem.
The thing with a 56-game schedule, I mean, you saw it with the Nats, you know, when they struggled, and you really can't get out of a hole when you're in a 60 games. Now you're only at 56. I mean, there's a little bit of pressure, you know, on every team basically in the NHL that you can't get off to any slides at all because there's no room.
It's time to start off on fire.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say that. So this is the new division now, the East Division. Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, the New Jersey Devils, the New York Islanders, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Penguins. Well, the Washington Capitals and the Washington Capitals. So this is... You got to hit the ground running. No, you got to hit the ice skating.
Yeah.
Got to make sure we have the right mindset in this thing. Got to hit the ice skating. Make sure you get out there. You don't want to come into this situation where you're falling behind and not getting things done, because with only 56, that'd be tough.
And I'm looking forward to the most to seeing Zdeno Chara, you know, coming from the Boston Bruins. And now the Bruins are in the Capitals division. So that means Chara gets to face his old team 8 different times.
Charlie, like, he's about 8 feet when he's on the skates.
I mean, that guy's humongous.
See, and that's the thing about it. when you look at a lot of the hockey players, when they put on all their gear, they get on their skates, they all look like they're well over 6 feet. But then you see them after the game, and they look like they're all well under 6 feet. Not Charlie.
No.
He is huge. Well, he's like, what, 6'6", 6'7"? Weighs about 240. But when he puts on all his gear, he looks like he's about 7'4", and he weighs about 295 pounds. Because what's the big dude? He used to play Bufflin?
Dustin Bufflin.
And he used to almost couldn't get on the skates because it's a weight limit. And he was always pushing that damn limit. But when he got on the skates, he was like a sumo wrestler out there.
Yeah. And it's going to be so good to see him, because he has just tormented the Caps every single time. And now he gets to play on the Caps side.
Yeah.
And he's 44 years old, but the guy can still hit. With that size, hey, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could still keep playing.
See, that's what I love about hockey as also. If you can skate and you can play, you play.
Just like Ovechkin.
Other sports want to say, oh, you at this age, now you're old. No matter if you're still performing, they don't want to pay you. And they want to call you old and they want to let you go. For some reason in hockey, you get the chance to play until you can't play anymore. And I'd much rather that. You know, Char comes in with a lot of experience. And that's the thing about it. What I learned in my playing days, the more experience I got, the less effort I had to exert. You know, just like the thing I was riding with one of my guys the other day, riding the bike, and he was telling me different things to do. And now I go through a situation where I'm like, damn, I almost feel like I'm tired. I don't feel like I'm breathing. I don't feel like I'm working. Well, that's the way that a guy like Ovechkin can be doing now. That's the way that you got a guy like Chara can be out there doing. Those guys who've been through everything, they've seen it all, they're not going to be out there because they're going to be tired because, you know, hockey is tough. You know, if you have a rollerblade, I tried to rollerblade for 2 miles one day. I got finally to my mama's house. I don't know how long it took me to get there, but when I got there, I just sat on the porch, I laid back, and I woke up about 3, 4, 5 hours later. Because it wore the hell out of me. And I used to always wonder, why do you only get on the ice for like a minute or 2 minutes, something like that? I see why. That's not an easy thing to do. So as we get ready to start this season, I'm expecting big things from the Caps. You know, I'm expecting, I want to see John Carlson get back where you were. Try to put some more points up there. Maybe if you get even closer, then they're going to give you something. Because I think he had the most points that have been scored by most goals have been scored, most points by a defenseman in almost 25 years. That is Norris Trophy representation, and he should have gotten it, but he didn't get it. Let's see if he can put some more goals up there, get some more points, and see if he get the love and respect that he deserves. Let's take a quick break here. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. We'll be back shortly.